Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, this is the Herd. Wherever you may be in a Monday, however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin right, Colin wrong. What a Monday! I am smirking like Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks ago at the line of scrimmage. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
What a great weekend.
Oh, lost a little money on that Packer bet, but...
That's why they call it gambling.
It's not an ATM machine. It's gambling.
We thought the Chiefs-Packers was going to be the best matchup, but...
It's pretty good, too.
This is pretty good. Pretty good.
So, let's start with this. Only one of the four quarterbacks was bound to get criticized if he lost. What do I mean by that? Well, if Patrick Mahomes lost, he just got out of concussion protocol. He had an injured foot. And we know he's great. He won the Super Bowl last year. We wouldn't beat up on him. If Josh Allen lost, he's a kid. He's never been in a game like this. If Tom Brady lost, well, he is 43 playing at Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers was bound to get a little more heat for losing. He was at home. He had the young, progressive head coach. He was favored. And he had the healthier roster. So now, who do we blame? It can't be Aaron. Let's blame the defense for the Packers. Oh, wait. They had 3 second-half interceptions. Let's blame the drop passes. Yeah, except Brady had 5 of those, too. Let's blame the head coach. 26-6, Matt LaFleur is a bum suddenly, huh? Not a single Packer fan in America before the kickoff who would have argued Bruce Arians is better than Matt LaFleur. I don't have to love the call, but slow down on Matt LaFleur can't coach. Let's not slow down on facts. The defense held Tom Brady to 19 first downs. It was there for the taking. He made 3 second-half mistakes. And yet Tom Brady this morning has the same number of NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers. Fact, last 15 playoff games for Aaron Rodgers, 7 wins and 8 losses. He gets credit for all the wins annually and never any of the blame. All I know is this, Brady wins those games a lot, and Aaron loses those games a lot. It was there for the taking. At home, favored, younger, progressive coach, healthier roster. Green Bay scored a touchdown, 28-23. Tom throws a pick. Aaron gets it back. Here we go. 3 and out. Minus 5 yards and punt. Okay. Tom Brady gets the ball, throws another pick. Aaron's got the ball again, can take a lead. 3 and out. No yards. Punt. Aaron this morning isn't even the most criticized Aaron in Green Bay. It's Aaron Jones. He had the audacity to fumble. Did you see the hit? I mean, fumbles happen when you get smoked. When a helmet hits a ball, it happens. It is amazing. Let's blame the corner for the Packers. It was a Kevin King. Let's blame him. Except how did Tom Brady get that possession? Aaron Rodgers threw a pick. Aaron Rodgers in the red zone yesterday, just Aaron Rodgers, was not good. He was 2 for 9. He forced it to Devontae Adams, who he was 1 for 7 with in the red zone. That's on Aaron, not the play calls. Oh, by the way, he had an opportunity to run that football in. He did it against the Rams. You saw the play. It was right there, and he chose to air it out. That was an opportunity. There it is. It's yours. Who are we going to blame now? This morning, Aaron Rodgers has the same NFC championship record as Donovan McNabb. Folks, it was there for the taking. Brady threw 3 second-half picks. Tampa only had 19 first downs. Vita Vea was on limited snaps. Both the safeties for Tampa were out. Multiple drop passes. Antonio Brown didn't play. If you look at the box score this morning, you're mystified how Tampa won. 19 first downs, only 25 minutes time of possession, 3 interceptions for Tom Brady, all in the second half. All I know is Tom wins these games a lot, and Aaron loses them a lot. You become your quarterback. There's a reason Green Bay is the anti-Chiefs. Green Bay fell behind and got tight. Aaron got snippy. They're the anti-Chiefs. The Chiefs are loose and fun and risk-taking and joyful. And they play almost better from behind when challenged. Green Bay does not. And to me, that says something about the personality of Mahomes and the personality of Aaron Rodgers. You've got to overcome in the playoffs. 4 times in Tom Brady's career, he has thrown 3 interceptions in a playoff game. He's 3-1 in those games. He overcomes. Green Bay's last 7 playoff losses are to teams they lost to 7-for-7 in the regular season. They can't overcome. They can't beat a team that beat them. Brady just did last weekend. You've got to overcome. Kansas City overcomes deficits. They did yesterday. They did last year. You got to overcome picks. You got to overcome fumbling at the 1-yard line. Aaron is a baller with a lead and often a bailer when trailing. And the minute they fell behind, it looked like a lot of Packer games in crisis when they fall behind. They couldn't overcome. That defines the playoffs. I didn't love the call by Matt LaFleur, but analytically, they had 3 timeouts left and a 2-minute warning. Aaron had been bad in the red zone. Get the points. You'll get the ball back if you make a stop, which you mostly had with Brady in the second half. You'd have a 1:40 left. I understood it, didn't agree with it, but can we bring up the play where Aaron had apparently an angle to either run it in? And after the game, blame on kicking the field goal and not going for it. Here's Aaron.
Well, I didn't have a decision on that one. Yeah, that wasn't my decision, but I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but yeah, that wasn't my decision.
He just wants to make sure you know it wasn't his decision. I'm not saying he deserves all of the blame, but 7-8 in the last 15 playoff games, he damn well deserves some. Let's talk Chiefs. Are all of us now understanding how good they are? I think I've come to terms with it. Last week, their star quarterback played on 1 foot in the first half, left the game with 7.5 minutes to go in the third quarter in the second half, and they beat a really good Cleveland team. Yesterday, they disassembled, dominated, destroyed the single hottest team in the NFL. And I love the faith they have in their players. Mecole Hardman fumbles. Tyreek Hill early dropped a big pass. They go right back to him. I love that. It's their culture. Andy Reid. You just know he goes back to him on the sideline. I'm going right back to you. Green Bay falls behind. They get tense. Kansas City falls behind. They get more confident. They play with a chip. Warren Buffett calls it the inner-outer scoreboard. Guys that puff their chest up and talk a big game and smirk when they lead. That's insecurity. You see it every time Green Bay falls behind. Boy, they are smirking and smiling and condescending when they lead. Look how nervous they get the minute they trail. Kansas City has got the true outer scoreboard. They're fun all the time. And actually, I think they play better from behind. Inner outer scoreboard. See a guy who talks, smirks, snarks, he's insecure. See a guy who doesn't have to brag, he knows how good he is. That's Kansas City. I mean, I said this last week. I've never seen an NFL team that plays like an NBA team. You see this with NBA dynasties. You saw it with the Warriors, Shaq and Kobe. You saw it, Doc Rivers, that great Boston team, where they would bury the playbook knowing that, all right, we'll be a 1, 2, or 3 seed. Let's get to the playoffs. It doesn't work that way in football, except with the Chiefs. Travis Kelce could have done something in week 17 of the regular season that is almost unexplainable. Led the NFL in receiving yards as a tight end. He sat it out. Mahomes could have gotten more MVP votes. Week 17, he sat it out. That's what LeBron's done most of his career. He understands legacy is based on postseason success. In September and October, this is not a small thing. In September and October, Kansas City played 8 games and blew the doors off 5 teams. They then lost to the Raiders. It was a surprise. And they went on to blow out the Bills, dismantle Denver and the Jets. And I looked it up this morning. They kind of shut it down. I've never seen this in the NFL. Not once did I feel the Patriots, they never gave Tommy a week 17 off. They never shut it down. They never took the foot off the pedal. Kansas City is the NBA dynasty. Go look at their September and October numbers, and then look at the last 8 weeks. Maybe they hid the playbook, experimented, play guys they normally wouldn't. Never forget this. After the Golden State Warriors, with Kevin Durant, Stephen Clay, won the first championship, the second year, they were 500 in the regular season after the All-Star break. They went on to sweep in the finals. We are looking at the first ever NFL team with the talent and the confidence to play like an NBA dynasty. And Kansas City knows, as long as they're not paying Mahomes big money, they're not now and they're not next year. They are simply better than everybody. I sat there yesterday. I couldn't even wrap my brain around it. Buffalo had been on fire for 12 weeks, crushing good Miami teams, crushing people. And the Chiefs went on a 38-6 run after falling behind early. Wow is what I'm left with. Kansas City favored, as they should be, in the Super Bowl against Tommy and the Bucks at home.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tip of the cap to the NFL. Okay. Tip of the cap to all these leagues. But I live in the state of California. I can't go out for a cup of coffee and sit next to somebody outside. The NFL is now one game from finishing the season in a pandemic. Unbelievable job. This is domestic travel. This is, you know, this is not easy. I mean, you're hitting. I remember listening March, April to an epidemiologist at Harvard or Yale, and they're like, football doesn't make any sense. You can't play football. This will never work. Baseball, you're separated. Basketball, a bubble. Hockey, you wear masks. It will not work in football. No, it was actually better in football than any other sport because the NBA guys had to be forced to play in a bubble, which kind of stinks. Let's be honest, that's no fun. Hey, honey, I'll see you in kids in 3 months. Tip of the cap to the NFL. So after the game, Aaron Rodgers went to the podium. This feels needlessly passive-aggressive to me, but oh, I'm just a hater, so I don't want to make big judgments, but it does feel a little needless, but here you go.
There's a lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now, and I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now.
What is he implying? Green Bay is going to dump him? Green Bay doesn't do flashy things. Free agency, they don't dump people. Brett Favre for years started threatening retirement and they just moved on. That I got. That I defended. That was a pity party. Like, what are you implying? If Green Bay cut Aaron Rodgers today, we went and looked it up, it'd save him $5 million. Folks, Jordan Love didn't dress for games this year. He's not even their backup. He didn't wear a Packer uniform this year. Is Aaron threatened by that? This is not Mahomes getting drafted behind Alex Smith. That's not what this is. This is not Aaron Rodgers getting drafted behind Favre and tweaking Favre for years, according to reports. Aaron's threatened by a guy who doesn't wear the uniform yet, who doesn't dress to play. It felt needlessly passive-aggressive. I don't even know what he's implying. Green Bay's not letting go of Aaron Rodgers because he lost a playoff game to the GOAT. Even if he should have won, they're not letting him go. They'd be insane. And that is the opposite. That's something Detroit would do. The Lions would do that. The Packers don't do that. Here was Matt LaFleur forced to comment on it after.
I sure as hell hope so. I mean, guys, the MVP of this league, he is the heart and soul of our football team. So, hell yeah, he better be back here. He's our leader. And, you know, just so appreciative of him buying into what we're trying to get done around here and leading that group.
Matt LaFleur had to clean up the mess. Has Brady, in one example, 22 years, gone to a podium after a loss and done a pity party? Difference between talent and leadership. Now Green Bay has to clean up a mess. You lost. It hurts. It stinks. I get it. I do. I get it. I appreciate the fact you actually went up there and talked. There's been quarterbacks that wouldn't do that. Like, I get it. I appreciate that. It's tough. I get it. And Aaron was the only quarterback this weekend who was going to lose and get criticized because, let's be honest, at home, Lambeau, warm weather team, coming up north, progressive coach, playing great. But come on. Leadership is always viewed in crisis, not rolling the Bears. It's viewed after that loss. That's not good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, everybody's... you know, all worked up on Matt LaFleur going for the field goal. But there were reasons. I don't have to agree with it, but just think about this. Joy Taylor joining me. Green Bay had three timeouts and the two-minute warning, so 4 o'clock stoppages. Their defense only allowed Tom Brady 19 first downs all day, had played very well in the second half. And Green Bay's red zone offense had mostly stunk. So he's thinking, just get points, which has become a trend in the NFL. Get points, get it back, give our guy. So if you look at the timeout situation, they would have gotten the ball back with a minute 30 left. Well, I've seen Aaron a couple times in the last few years win those games. So you're at Lambeau, you're at home. So I don't have to agree with it. But Matt LaFleur is 26-6 before that game. If I'd have told you before the game, yeah, Bruce Arians is a better coach than Matt LaFleur. There's not a Packer fan on the planet that would have agreed with that. Now you all think he's a bum. now he's terrible. It's like, now, if there would have been, let's say there was 2:58 to go, then you think to yourself, oh, God, yeah, you'll get the back ball with 2 minutes. Because I got three timeouts. Let's say, if you don't like that, what if there's 3:09 to go? I don't think it's I think the time freaks everybody out. It did me. I'm like, no, don't do that too. But if it would have been 3:30, 3:39, I would have understood it. Now, my theory has always been, who's the best player on your team? Aaron Rodgers. Just give him the ball to win. So that's my theory is, you have to ask your coach in the game, who are my three best? I would argue there are two best players are Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams.
Yeah.
So I would have gone with those. And their center, you could argue, he's a Pro Bowler. Maybe their three best players are on offense.
I think during the regular season, that's how you coach. That's what you do. But in those moments, like you've gotta go for it. If you don't get it, then your defense is in a better situation.
Yes, that's a very good point. If you don't get it, and this is why I would have gone for it. My takeaway would have been, listen, it's Aaron. My two best players are on offense. Maybe my three best players. we've struggled here, but I'm going to go for it. I'm going to put the ball in Aaron's hands. The second thing to your point is, if you don't make it, well, Tampa's pinned deep.
Yeah.
And your defense is playing great, so you're going to get the ball back. Now, you're probably going to get the ball back with a minute 30 with much better field position.
Right, and that's still plenty of time for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so that to me is just as important as the go for it, is that you would get the ball back in better field position.
The two biggest plays or moments in that game that stick out to me are that decision to the field goal, and then Aaron Rodgers not running.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would have even made it. when I picture him running, like if he was fast enough to get there, but like the second of hesitation, I was like, oh, he's going to run it.
Also, he really didn't run that in. Even if you kick the field goal, Tampa twice had very good field goal, very good kickoff returns. So twice in the games, Minkins had very good. So let's say you kick the field goal, you kick it to Tampa, and Tampa gets to the 38-yard line. Yeah. Okay, then you're buried again. So I thought it was the wrong call, but again, I don't like to just, games don't come down to play calling. That game, three Brady picks, second half, twice Green Bay went 3-and-out. To me, and after that, it was just all field goals. That was the game. You got to do stuff with that. All right, here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong, brought to you by Mike Subs. Tired of cooking at home? Change it up. Just order Mike Subs, Jersey Mike's through their app. No contact delivery, no contact at door pickup. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Years ago when everybody started saying, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the real GOAT, not Brady, my takeaway was there's more than just throwing a pretty football. Brady's a better leader. Brady plays better from behind. Brady's better at the line of scrimmage. Brady is more coachable. Aaron's had family members take shots at him. Brady's ex-teammates still love him. There is more to football than being cool and throwing a great ball. Being a quarterback is about leadership, relatability, how are you as a teammate. It's never been close. Tom is the best football player in the history of the National Football League. Aaron is just super talented.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know what? I was a sucker. I bought into the Packers. Once they beat the Tennessee Titans in week 16, I was in. I kept saying, I know they're front runners. I know they're finesse. But if they could beat Tennessee in a physical football game, then I'm in. They did. But yesterday, they did something that I've seen too many times with Aaron Rodgers. When they fall behind in big games, they are not the same team. They've got a front runner DNA. They are a baller with a lead and a Baylor trailing. And yesterday, I thought they got tight.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, for about 10 years, I defended Andy Reid in Philadelphia. And I said, he's the Belichick of the NFC in Philadelphia. He bailed on the running game before everybody else. And Andy Reid, in a world of young hipster coaches, is still the king. His play design, his ability to go for it, his ability to rally the troops. He is the one head coach. Bill Belichick has never been able to stop his offenses. Go ask Belichick. He doesn't have a system. His system is, what's my personnel? Joey and I talk about this. Coaches have systems. Andy's like, what are my players? I'll build a new offense. He is great. He's been great for 20 years.
Where Colin was wrong.
Yeah, the Herd face bracket stunk this weekend. Bad weekend. So I do a face bracket where I just pick the playoffs based on who's the better quarterback in the moment. I had Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers. So that's my fault. I picked somebody over Mahomes and somebody over Brady. I think we finished 8-4 on the year, but my stupid face bracket took a beating this weekend.
Where Colin was right.
Aaron Rodgers now 1-8 when trailing at half in the playoffs. He's not the same quarterback. Now, would I vote him for the Hall of Fame? Do I think he's great? But you can't tell me he got snippy yesterday in the red zone. He's barking it. It's like Aaron plays better with a lead. Mahomes, I think, plays better trailing. Brady, it doesn't matter. He always plays the same. But there is a difference between Aaron. His body language changes. He doesn't take as many shots downfield. I thought he was really hesitant in the red zone a couple of times. Run the football. You're a very, very good athlete. You're not a great athlete, but you're a very good athlete. 1-8 now, trailing at half in the playoffs.
Where Colin was wrong.
Boy, did I miss on this. I said Kansas City would win, but they'd settle for a bunch of field goals in the red zone. Yeah, they were 5-for-5, 5 touchdowns. Listen, since week 12, the Bills were the number one red zone defense. And since week 12, the Chiefs were the number 26 offense. So I said, I'm going to take Kansas City to win. But it's going to be kind of low scoring, and they're going to settle for field goals. They settled for none. They I still can't get over 38-6 run against a defense that, you know, situationally had been the NFL's best since about Thanksgiving.
Where Colin was right.
Joy and I are big fans of being aggressive in big spots. Buffalo wasn't. Sean McDermott settled for field goal. End of the half. By the way, Kansas City down 9-0. 4th-and-1. Could have kicked a field goal. They went for it. Bruce Arians. End of the half. Tom Brady. Let's go for it. Green Bay. Let's kick field goals. In big games, I think it helps the psychology of your team. Go for it. Trust your players. There's no tomorrow. And I thought Buffalo, I know it's called chasing points, but with Kansas City, you got to chase points because they're scoring on you. And I thought Buffalo and Green Bay were the tighter teams that were a little less aggressive.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I picked Kansas City yesterday, but I had Buffalo as the number one team over Kansas City, and they were the one team this weekend that just unraveled. Listen, it's a big spot. That's a tough place to play, but they struggled stopping the Colts. They gave up almost 480 yards to the Colts. They struggled with the Ravens. Their offense dried up yesterday, wasn't great against the Ravens, was not great against the Colts. And I thought their offense was the strength of their team. But boy, that secondary for Kansas City yesterday shut it down. I mean, shut their receiving core down.
Where Colin was right.
Well, anytime Dan Campbell's name's been mentioned the last several years, I roll my eyes and laugh. He may be a great guy. He may be a tough guy. He may be a big guy, but he feels like a pro wrestler. He got mentioned as potentially the Lions head coach, and I said, this won't be great. And then the press conference happened, and it wasn't great.
And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
But you've bitten off everybody's kneecap, so you'll be thrown out of the game, and that won't be great.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I had Brian Daboll as the number one coaching candidate this offseason. He went to college or high school with the Chargers GM, and he didn't get the job. Eric Mangini calls him the hardest working coach he's ever met, didn't get a job. He's universally respected. Every source I have, he didn't get a job. He transformed Josh Allen. I mean, transformed him. He didn't get a job. I thought he'd be the first guy off the market. I thought Brian Daboll would be the first guy off the market. I was told this weekend by somebody who knows him well, he's a grinder. He's not a fast riser. He maybe doesn't have the personality, the look that some people are looking for, the Sean McVay kind of quality, the Brandon Staley. I thought this guy would last about 2 minutes. He didn't get any of the jobs. He didn't get any of them. All right, Colin right, Colin wrong.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Jimmy Johnson's a multiple-time Super Bowl champ, 9 seasons, coaching the Cowboys, Dolphins, Hall of Fame. I've learned more football from Jimmy Johnson than just about anybody I've ever known. He's now joining me live. Well, you know, one of my rules in this job, Jimmy, I don't like to question play calling. I don't know. I didn't look at tape like you coaches. I don't know. You could have injuries that you can't run plays. You've spent so much time. But I do think the Matt LaFleur kicking a field goal, Joy and I talked about this earlier. Boy, if I got Aaron Rodgers there, hell, even if I didn't make it, Jimmy, I'd still pin Tampa deep and I'd probably get the ball back. I didn't like the call. Your thoughts?
Yeah, our whole crew talked about that right when it happened. You know, when he was lining up for the field goal, I'm saying, why? You know, go ahead. You got to try to get the touchdown and try to get the 2-point play. And if it's not successful, you know, they're going to be backed up. You know, rather than take the field goal, kick off, they get good field position, they've got time. I said, you're never going to get the ball back. So I did not like the call at all. I think it was the wrong call.
So, you know, it's one of these things. Green Bay, for whatever reasons, they play differently with a lead. They're not as good trailing. And I thought when Tampa came in the first drive, Jimmy, and took a lead, I just thought my mood changed. I said, oh, we got a game here. I thought Tampa hit. Tampa was really physical. They were pounding the ball. Did you sense early that, you know, this could be trouble for Green Bay?
Yeah, I knew Todd Bowles' defense was going to give Aaron Rodgers some problems. You know, they really came on strong, really played well defensively, put a lot of pressure on him, rushing the passer. They did it the first time they played. And, of course, yesterday, you know, they sacked him a bunch of times. So I knew that defense was going to be a problem for him. I thought that Green Bay might be able to pull it out, and had the defensive back and Mike Pettine not played the wrong coverage and the wrong technique right before the half, I think Green Bay would have still pulled it out.
Yeah. You know, what do you make of that? You know, so many of these big games, Jimmy, and you've been in these, it doesn't matter if it's you at Miami and Notre Dame, they come down to a play or a moment. With that touchdown that was surrendered at the end of the half, is that a player issue? I'm just shocked that it happened. Who's responsible for that?
Well, I like Mike Pettine. You know, he's been down here in the Keys. We've spent some time together talking football, one thing or another. I think he's a good football coach. But he played basically a one-free defense, a man coverage. But, you know, the defensive back, regardless if he had been in man coverage or zone coverage, you know, he was playing too tight. He should have been backed off. Personally, I would have been in a three-deep zone coverage and in taken away the outside routes. That would have taken away all the deep throws, and it would have taken the outside routes. So it was the wrong call coverage-wise, and it was the wrong technique by the defensive back. Just a horrible play letting him get behind him.
You know, there's four different times, Jimmy Johnson joining us, that – you coach Troy Aikman, Tom Brady Aikman. They're leaders beyond just being good quarterbacks. Four different times that Tom has either been somewhere and left or not been somewhere and arrived, and in four different times he averages 7 wins he's worth to a team. And listen, we know a lot of it, he's talented. But, I mean, you sense this with Aikman. Take me behind the scenes for an Aikman to be able to change the culture. Tampa's been this a losing organization, Jimmy, for as long as I can remember. I mean, take me behind what you think Tom did or what you saw Troy do in Dallas.
Well, I think the number one thing, he brought a championship discipline to their team. You look at Tampa Bay, you know, the last year or two, they were a sloppy team. You know, they had a bunch of penalties, a lot of turnovers. With Brady in there, and I think it really kind of turned around in the Chicago game, the fifth game of the season. They lose by 1 point. Brady just goes crazy. I think their center had a unnecessary roughness penalty. Brady goes to the sideline. He's screaming and hollering. And from that time on, the very next week, they had 0 offensive penalties, and they beat Green Bay 38-10. But you look at the season, you know, the season before in 2019, they had 41 turnovers, I think it was. Last year, you know, this year, they had 18 turnovers. You know, less than half of them. Penalty-wise, they cut it down by about 40 penalties. So they were a really a disciplined football team. Besides him being a good player, he brought discipline to that team.
Listen, Kansas City, if I said to you, which team would you rather have, Kansas City or Tampa? Now, as I say that, most people would say Kansas City. But now they're missing Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. And now I think the strength of Tampa's team is their defensive front. And I do look at it and I think, boy, this feels a little bit like how the Giants beat that 18-0 Patriots, where Tom just didn't have time to get his feet under him. When you compare these rosters with those two offensive line losses, are these rosters closer than we think in terms of talent, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think it's close. Like you say, losing Fisher is going to be a problem because Tampa plays such good defense. They have some outstanding pass rushers. Barrett's going to be an outstanding rusher over there from that edge. I think the Tampa defense will give them some problems, and you never can tell. You know, you're liable to get in that ball game, and you know, your Kansas City's liable to struggle running the football because Tampa plays good run defense. They start rushing the passer. Kansas City gets behind. They drop a couple of passes, one thing or another. I think it's going to be a heck of a ball game, and I think without question, Tampa's got a great shot.
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson joining us, the Hall of Famer. I was saying to you during the break, just the effortlessness of Kansas City's offense. I mean, they play so joyful, and it just seems so easy. And go back to even your coaching days at Miami or the Cowboys. Was there a season or a point where you could call anything, Jimmy? You didn't care where the field position was, the score, that you just felt like if we call the play right, if we our guys are better than their guys, like we have better players.
Yeah. You know, well, my days at the University of Miami, it just really depended on who we were playing, you know, Colin. I mean, about seven or eight of those teams, I could have thrown a dart at the play call sheet, and every play would have been good. It really wouldn't have made any difference because we were just so much more talented, you know, than who we were playing. Now, there were three or four games we had to make sure that we were prepared and we didn't turn it over, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, in college football, you know, there's such a disparity in the talent level for the great teams and the average teams. In professional football, it's a different story. You know, even in our run at Dallas, as good as we were, we had to play well every week or we're going to have a problem.
Yeah. Were you surprised at all that Kansas City sort of dominated Buffalo, 38-6 run? Were you surprised by the kind of the gap in closeness?
I think, you know, they went on cruise control there for about a month and a half. But they knew getting ready for Buffalo, they were going to have to play well. Buffalo was hot and as hot as any team in the league. And so I think they really were thoroughly, thoroughly prepared. They knew what they were up against. And so they were playing their A game against Buffalo.
Final question. You've been to these Super Bowls. Do you implement your game plan this week? What do you do this week before Super Bowl week?
Well, what we always did, you know, well, first of all, my first Super Bowl, we had 2 weeks. And so you put in the majority of the game plan, all the fundamental plays, but you don't want the players to get bored. And so you save a little bit of it for the second week. And then the second week, you do make some change-ups. You know, our particular situation, we were playing, you know, Buffalo with a no-huddle offense, and they had just run up and down the field on everybody because people weren't prepared for the no-huddle. You know, we ran two units against our defense for that first week, and we had them exhausted after the first week. But then we pulled back the second week, but we did add some things, you know, just to keep their interest up. You don't want them to get bored that second week, and you don't want to peak too early.
Yeah. Jimmy, it's a pleasure. Fox Sports NFL analyst, the Hall of Famer. Great seeing you. And are you going to go out fishing today or tomorrow?
I think I'm going to go in the morning. We've got a chance to maybe catch a wahoo or two or maybe go get a mahi. I know I can always catch some small tuna. But I'll head out fishing in the morning.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Grab a Heineken, have one for me, too. I'd love to join you someday out there, Jimmy. Thanks.
All right, Colin. You know you're always welcome down here.